It's time to wake up with a nice cup of morning roast. Featuring
Wilmore's finest, Monte Hill. The pride of the Excelsior, Joe Butcher Boy Shasky.
Take
him out. You're listening to 95.7 The Game, the morning roast.
Oh, baby, oh, baby, oh, baby, oh, baby, oh, baby, a Tuesday morning on the morning roast, a day after recapping championship weekend. The Warriors hit the floor today as well, hosting the Utah Jazz at the front end of a back-to-back. And boy, we all know they need to get going. The Warriors at 22-23 right now. The 49ers full swing offseason. Although the higher special teams coordinator, Brent Boyer, whose Jets teams have been really good, his units have been good. The rankings since he took over, 14th, 1st, 8th. We'll get all into it. Kickoff returns, the team rankings on return yards and kickoffs and all that stuff. But the Niners starting to figure out their staff, and then they'll get rolling here on an all-season plan. But good morning to everybody out there. Get off the graveyard shift. If you're at work, what is happening? If you're getting ready for work, what's happening? We got a fun show planned for you. Brian Baldinger will join us at 7:30 to recap the championship weekend. And Mike Pereira, Shasky, former vice president officiating in the National Football League and current rules analyst at Fox Sports. And we'll get into some of the controversial plays over the weekend, including the one where it's like, hey, you could be awarded a touchdown if you continue to jump over the line of scrimmage, Washington. I had never heard that one before.
Never in my life.
Never in my life. But we'll talk to Mike Pereira about the obvious spot in Kansas City and the Dalton Kincaid spot and what maybe Buffalo could have done and what we could do in the future about this. But fun show planned here, man. And, you know, it just sucks, man. As Carter walked in and he was just saying, I can't believe we got this Super Bowl matchup. I can't believe we got this matchup. And I can. I can't, Chasky.
Well, I was thinking about, like, just the overall legacy of Patrick Mahomes and how rare it is for him to go to this many Super Bowls. And, you know, not a lot of quarterbacks have had the opportunity to be in a position where not only are you an all-time talent, but it feels like you have an all-time coach. You know, it's just very rare. You know, Michael Jordan meets Phil Jackson.
Right.
Michael would have been some version of Michael, but being able to play in that system absolutely accentuated the best attributes of Michael Jordan. You know, Kobe Bryant obviously got to be with Phil Jackson, and I think that accentuated all of his positives. Tim Duncan playing with Popovich and the evolution of Popovich's offense over the years. And, you know, like, sometimes you do get lucky. And I was just thinking about it, like, you know, I love John Harbaugh. I think John Harbaugh's a really good coach. But when push comes to shove, Lamar Jackson is kind of on his own. Most people don't know who his offensive coordinator is.
Right.
When Josh Allen is reeling, he looks over to Doug McDermott. Doug McDermott's a defensive guy.
Right.
You know? And it's tough. It's just really, really tough. And who's he going up against? Spagnuolo.
Yeah.
You got Patrick Mahomes. And in times of crisis, he looks over and not only does he have an offensive guru in Andy Reid, a quarterback specialist in Andy Reid, who's calling all the plays. Mm-hmm. And I think about Joe Montana and Bill Walsh and that synergy between the two of them and how perfect that match made in heaven was. And there are just certain times in life where the right coach meets the right player. Bruce Bochy, Buster Posey. Is there a match made in heaven more than the two of them? And I'm thinking about it like coach, player, you know.
Bill Walsh, Joe Montana.
Dante, is there a better combination in the last 50 years in sports right now? And I know it's prisoner of the moment.
Andy Reid. You get Lombardi, Bart Starr.
Okay.
You get, even though they didn't get along, but Noel and Terry Bradshaw, four championships.
Like, I don't want to dismiss Belichick, Brady.
You get Roger Staubach. You get Tom Landry. Obviously, you get Montana. And you get Bill Walsh. You get Phil Simms and Parcells. You look at some of the stuff in the AFC. Dan Reeves, John Elway doesn't work out. But Mike Shanahan and John Elway works out.
Absolutely.
Brett Favre, Mike Holmgren, they work out together. Although they just won the one Super Bowl, but they advanced the two. You think about Ben Roethlisberger, Mike Tomlin, but he was born in. Mike Tomlin got hired after Roethlisberger started rolling there, and they made great synergy. And then, of course, you got the ultimate with Brady and Belichick. I think Brady and Belichick is number one right now. Montana, Walsh right there, number two. But quickly rising up the charts. And, man, before it's all said and done, it could be Mahomes and Andy Reid.
It's crazy.
It's just 7 straight AFC Championship game appearances. It's the greatest start to an individual player career in the history of the league. There's no doubt about that. This guy has his season. His season ends either in the AFC Championship game or the Super Bowl. That's been the case for Patrick Mahomes ever since he's been a second-year pro. His rookie year obviously sat behind Alex Smith. They get bounced in the first round. But his season is ended in either the Super Bowl or the championship game. So he's, by himself, had the greatest start to an NFL career in the history of the NFL, in my opinion. And that's not even going back 50 years. I mean, Jim Brown could have done, I don't know, who knows. But right now in the modern game, Mahomes has had the best start to his career. Do you think about Andy Reid? How many losing seasons has he had?
I mean, what, three?
Three losing seasons.
I think it's three, yeah.
Three losing seasons. I mean, Belichick had the great run in New England. Can't forget about Cleveland when he was fired. And they didn't have a lot of success. Obviously, they moved the team to Baltimore and kind of derailed everything with Art Modell, the former owner of the Baltimore Ravens. Andy Reid is quickly getting his respect as one of the greatest minds. And who knows when this ends? When it ends, he could be higher than Belichick in a lot of people's eyes because of his offensive mind and him evolving with the times. I think he's evolved better than any coach in the modern game.
No doubt, no doubt. And longevity. I mean, I guess in my mind, the person for longevity in the NFL is Don Shula.
Yeah, but he didn't win since the 70s.
I know.
They went to 2 Super Bowls in the 80s. They lost to Washington at the Rose Bowl, and then they lost to the Niners at Stanford Stadium.
And it felt like they underachieved, right? But I'm just talking about longevity. It's like Shula, and then who else?
Well, you got Shula, Belichick. You got Belichick, you got Tom Landry.
Yeah, Tom Landry, okay. Yeah, Andy Reid's excellence is on a very short list. And I think I might, like when Belichick and Brady were separating, I was thinking to myself, like, I think most sports fans, no one's ever going to touch that.
Right.
No one. You went 6-for-9 in Super Bowls?
Yep.
6-for-9? And now we're sitting here and I mean, are they going to get to 7, 8, 9, 10?
They might. Well, they got to get this one on 2 Sundays from now.
Well, obviously.
They've got to get this one, but they've got 3. They lost one, obviously, to Tampa Bay. They got blown out in Tampa Bay. That was a tough spot for them. They blew the one against Cincinnati, the AFC Championship game, when they were up 21-3. Think about that. They might get to 7, but they got to get to 4 first. And they've got a hell of a challenge in front of them. But you think about when they're doing it, and the competition they're doing it against. Now, the Patriots, when they were making their run, you had Ben Roethlisberger, you had Peyton Manning.
Yeah.
Some really good teams.
Yeah.
But we know the Colts were flawed defensively, and Pittsburgh had their limitations offensively and whatnot.
Yes.
This feels like the Kansas City Chiefs are going through the more complete teams in the AFC East as opposed to the Patriots teams or those Colts teams or their Steelers teams. And what I mean by that is you got Josh Allen. You've got Lamar Jackson. You've got Joe Burrow. And longer down the list, some people believe in Justin Herbert. And then you got Trevor Lawrence, right? And then you got
C.J. Stroud.
C.J. Stroud in Houston, who's doing his thing. So, and Pittsburgh still's got a really good defense. But he's going through some of the elite quarterbacks of the modern game. And he has to go through them over and over and over to get to the championship game. And he does it. And he does it. And he lives through it. So, you could say the AFC West may look a little like the old AFC East when there were some bad teams. But I think the AFC West is starting to get better and better and better. As opposed to those AFC East teams when Buffalo stuck for so many years and Miami hadn't won a playoff game in so many years. And the Jets, they had a cup of coffee with Rex Ryan and Mark Sanchez. But this run may be more impressive given the competition they have to go through on a year-to-year basis.
It's crazy what I'm watching with these guys. And I don't know, not to turn this into a 49er conversation, but I was just thinking about, like, when you have the play caller and the quarterback on the same page, look, it doesn't guarantee that you're going to win. It just doesn't. Like, you know, Sean Payton and Drew Brees were together forever, and they got the one Super Bowl and kind of lost a lot of big playoff games.
A lot of big ones.
But, boy, they won a lot of divisions. they went to a lot of playoffs, and I think it puts you in the mix. And I was just thinking about Shanahan and Brock Purdy. And, look, I have my own reservations on how much Brock Purdy's worth, on how good he can truly be, you know, how sustainable this can be. I have questions on the arm and all that. I still think he's a good player. And I think Shanahan's a really, really, really good coach. And he's going to have to evolve his game over time. That being said, we have a leg up on so many teams in the league just before the season even begins. Before I look at any other position on the field, quarterback, head coach, who's the play caller. And he's a great play caller.
Yeah.
Like, you have such a leg up on so many teams in the league. Just look at the draft as we go right now. There are so many teams, they have no idea who their head coach is. They have no idea who their play caller is. They don't know who their quarterback is. Just eliminate those teams right off the rip. Like, we've got all the big question marks already kind of answered. And so to me, like, as much as I know they have a lot of work to do, the 49ers, and I'm sitting here and I'm looking at the Eagles and I'm saying, God, it's a tall task in one offseason to get back to where, you know, the Eagles are right now. It's a tall task to try to compete with Kansas City. That being said, in one offseason, because they've got some infrastructure in place, they're ahead of the game compared to like a dozen other teams in the league.
Well, you have to ask yourself, when you start building this football team, because they are ahead of a lot of teams.
They are.
Shanahan, you've got Lynch, you've got, obviously, Warner and Bosa on the defensive side. Offensively, you have to figure it out. McCaffrey, you know, is coming back. But do you re-sign Jordan Mason? You know, Trent Williams is coming back. And I'm one of the few that believes Trent Williams would be motivated to end this on a high note. He ain't leaving that money on the table, too. George Kittle's still playing at an elite level.
Absolutely.
I know I have that. I may have something in Ricky Pearsall. I like what I saw the last month of the season. We'll see about Debo. Is he back? Is he not? Juwan Jennings is a player. I believe the quarterback is a player. But you got to tinker the team, obviously. You got to evolve a little bit. You want to get faster defensively. That's kind of the messaging around the building. Getting more athletic defensively, getting quicker like Philadelphia did. They got more athletic with Cooper DeJean and Quinyon Mitchell, and it flipped. And then they bring back C.J. Gardner-Johnson from Detroit, who had already been in Philadelphia. He comes back. So now you got three defensive backs that are playing at an elite level, even though two of them are rookies, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I asked Niner fans, when you're building this team, you're rebuilding this team, do you build a team to beat your own division, or are you building your team to beat Philadelphia, Kansas City, and Detroit? Because I think we always talk about the Super Bowl division. There's divisions, and then there's the Super Bowl division. And right now in that Super Bowl division, it's Kansas City, Philadelphia, Buffalo, Baltimore. I don't know if you want to throw Washington there, but you got to give them some respect. Detroit, I think, still has a spot there.
Absolutely.
So to me, are you a Super Bowl team or just a divisional winner? Because I think the Niners, when I'm looking at the Rams, the Niners should have won both those games against the LA Rams. And this is just one of those one-off seasons. And they'll, Bonte, they didn't win. They lost them. The first game, they should have won the damn game down in LA. They controlled most of the football game. They controlled, I thought, the first half of the football game against the Rams on Thursday Night Football. But do they need to build for those Super Bowl contending teams? Or do we need to look within our division first and say, you know what, we need to get better against Seattle, Arizona, and the Rams? Because I know the record in the NFC West this year, but I actually feel good about the way the Niners stack up against the rest of the divisional opponents.
It's a really interesting question. You know, like, forever it's like, hey, win the division, then look outside. Wouldn't you argue that Philly and Kansas City are trend-setting in the sense of, we're going to dominate in the trenches.
Yep.
Obviously, they've got weapons. I mean, you have Kelsey, and you have, you know, A.J. Brown and Devontae, right. And like, you've got weapons. It's Saquon. I mean, how can I forget Saquon? Obviously, you've got weapons. But the trenches and the run game, and then having stout defensive fronts that can get after quarterbacks and collapse the pocket, how does that go out of style? That works within division and with the big dogs.
Yeah.
And I think about, you know, Buffalo and that defense. I don't think it got after Patrick Mahomes in that game the way that they wanted it to.
No.
And I look at their run game, they kind of got away from James Cook and some of their special run game that I thought they had during the regular season.
Mm-hmm.
So I always will go to, I'm building my team for the whole conference to try to win in the playoffs. And what wins in the playoffs? Physical defense run game.
You know,
it always does.
You know,
it
travels. What's funny? You know what's funny?
And then situational quarterback.
Yeah, no doubt. We go through the season, every season, we go through this NFL journey, and we're always talking quarterbacks and wide receivers getting separation, run game, who's explosive. Oh, I need another wide receiver. I need another running back. It always comes down to the trenches and dominating the line of scrimmage and not making mistakes. And we watch these two teams in the Super Bowl down in New Orleans, it's going to be like, damn, okay, who's not playing well in the trenches? It's probably going to decide the football game. So it decided the football game basically in between Buffalo and Kansas City. One team could get fourth downs, the other couldn't. The other team couldn't get a 4th-and-1. Whether or not you say the ball was not spotted well, I'll put that on Buffalo. And we'll get into that with Mike Pereira, because I thought they just rushed the entire process and botched it, especially with a 22-21 lead. It was like they were trailing the way they were moving. You're leading the game. Chill out. Just wait a second here. Challenge a Kincaid play. So we'll get into that with Mike Pereira, but also Philadelphia. They convert 3rd-and-2s.
Yeah.
They convert 4th-and-1s. And another thing is, too, is we don't talk about it enough, is staying ahead of the sticks. Are you facing 3rd-and-9, Shasky, or are you facing 3rd-and-3? Are you facing 3rd-and-11, or are you facing 3rd-and-2? These teams, Kansas City and Philadelphia, and even Buffalo, they stay ahead of the chains.
Yeah.
How many times do you see 2nd-and-4, 2nd-and-3? Well, the Niners this year was 2nd-and-9, 2nd-and-10, 2nd-and-7. Staying ahead of the sticks in the playoffs is so important.
It absolutely is. And I would say that the one element that I thought both Patrick Mahomes and Jalen Hurts really utilized, especially in those championship games, their legs. You know, their legs. And I think Brock did a good job at times with his legs. And I know we had Steve Young on the station last week. Well, I think it was Willard and Dibbs. And he was talking about he wants to see Brock run a little more. I'm kind of with him on that. And I don't mean like run, you know, because he does this spin move where he goes to the left. I'm talking about like just take the free yards that are in front of you, especially when they're going to be in press man across the board. You're going to be able to have free chunk plays underneath. And I think that Jalen does a great job identifying when to run. And where to run to, which is to the outside and stay to the sideline so that he's going up against smaller guys. And then Patrick Mahomes, it felt like it's so random. He felt like in case of emergency, break glass. He hadn't run like that all year.
Right.
And he was running with reckless abandon in that playoff game. The legs of the quarterback are such a weapon. And I feel like Brock has that in him.
Well,
and I'd like to see him utilize that.
See, I heard a lot of Brock's running too much this past season.
I think the pull it down and run in like zone situations.
You want design runs?
There are specific times when they've been in man and it's like, dude, tuck that thing and then take off instead of tuck it and spin backwards.
Right.
I think he used his legs backwards a little too much for me behind the line of scrimmage.
Well, he was one of the more efficient quarterbacks when it came to scrambling.
Yes, he was.
He was top 6, top 7 in that category when it comes to efficiency while scrambling. So I think Brock has added his game. I think, too, you don't want him just bailing right out of the offensive line at times is just awful.
Was not good.
You've got to improve.
But that goes back to trenches.
You got to improve the offensive line. Like, that's got to be numero uno, number one. Protected your assets.
I did think that when he made that diving touchdown where he stuck the ball out, I think something happened with his back.
Maybe.
Because he just didn't move the same way.
I'll say this, though. I was just looking at some numbers with Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid. Since he's taken over in the regular season, and I know he's missed a few games here and there, but Kansas City overall, they're 90-26.
Oh my God!
They're
That's
90
like the Warriors
and 26.
Record with the.
I just can't believe it.
90-26.
Wow. Since 2018, they went 12-4, 12-4, 14-2, 12-5, 14-3, 11-6, and 15-2. They're 90-26 in a regular season. That is insane. That's just insanity, and it's not going to stop. All right, more coming up. Baldy 730, Mike Pereira 830, 888-957-9570 is a number. Due to Niners. Need to swing a big deal this offseason to maybe be in, I guess, within distance of, within range of the Kansas City Chiefs and the Philadelphia Eagles as a contender for the Super Bowl, or do they have a lot of work to do?
What do you think? I have a six-pack. It's just under the dad bod.
Do they need a six-pack? Do they need that? By the way, tune in for Warriors Live today, presented by Xfinity. It's Stream Sports from the best seat in the house. With Xfinity, bring on the good stuff as the Warriors will host the Utah Jazz today in a gotta-have-it game for the Golden State Warriors. We'll talk about that coming up. Brought to you by San Francisco International Airport.
All right, Dub Nation, it's Draymond Green. Tip-off is coming later today with the great Tim Roy. And then tune in to the Morning Roast tomorrow morning for the best Warriors coverage.
All right, Draymond will not hit the floor tonight against the Utah Jazz. Warriors trying to get something going here. 22-23 on the season. 12-12 at home. That's the definition of average. Utah's been much, much worse. We know they're not trying to win games. They're 10-34 on the season. Lowry marketed to town. Lowry marketed. Averaging about 20 a game, 19.7 points a game, 6 rebounds, and just over 32, or just under 32 minutes a game. So Markkanen having a solid season, but shooting just 35% from 3, 42.5 from the floor. Utah, they've lost a lot of games in a row. A lot. So
that means nothing.
That means nothing when it comes to the Golden State Warriors. They're on a 6-game losing streak. So you would say, how about this? They've won. They've actually lost 9 of their last 10. Some may say they're due.
Did you catch any NBA last night?
I did. I did catch some NBA.
The Lakers!
So,
the Lakers. Know, I call some Lakers.
My son is like, he's now league pass LJ. LPLJ.
Wow.
He's like obsessed with watching basketball. He'll stop whatever he's doing, and then he has his little ball. And anyway, he's going crazy for basketball. It's probably because all the games I take him to.
Right.
But I'm talking about CYO games and high school games. We're watching yesterday, just again, I'm not pretending to be some league pass aficionado, but YouTube has it set up where I can watch a lot of games if you pay for the sports package. Detroit, Cleveland. And I'm like, there are so many unbelievable athletes on the floor that would all be starters on the Warrior team that aren't even close to being starters right. on the Pistons. They had some cool jerseys too yesterday. Pistons. And then I'm watching this Thompson kid for the Houston Rockets. That guy flies. He is, now he's like the fourth or fifth pick, right?
Right.
He is a freak. That's the kind of player
right.
that the Warriors desperately need to pair alongside Steph Curry. And I look, it's easy to say because obviously it looks right. like they've hit on that draft pick. I don't even think he could shoot that well. I'm just looking at his body type, his athleticism, his ability to, you know, penetrate, drive to the hoop, defend. Like 6'7", 6'8", I don't know how big he is. The afro makes him look even bigger. There are so many unbelievable athletes that I'm watching. And again, I'm not pretending to be league pass Shasky. I'm just saying, glancing on a Monday night, looking for something to watch, and I'm sitting here and I'm going, the Warriors don't have any of that. So as I look at who the Warriors are today, and as I look at what I want them to be moving forward, one of the things, and I get it, we're all gunshot. We don't want to get rid of anything because does it make you infinitely better? Look, we are
athletes.
What we are. We're not good enough. And I'm looking at it and I'm saying, I need to do whatever I can, whether it's acquiring a current player who's extremely young and you're taking a big flyer on, or setting myself up to acquire those guys via the draft. I think you got to get younger and way more athletic, and I think it starts with probably waving the white flag on some veterans that we normally wouldn't want to part with.
Well, it's been the case, pardon me, it's been the case for the second season now. Because even last year, it was trending in his direction. The dialogue last season was a little too small, a little too slow. You're not good at the point of attack defensively. You don't have a lot of athleticism. That was last season. And that was the CP3, and, you know, obviously Klay Thompson was here. So you move off those guys. And De'Anthony Melton was supposed to get you more athletic, but he only played 6 games. Buddy Hill looks more athletic than Klay Thompson. I think he is more athletic, but if you're athletic and don't know what to do with your body and can't shoot, then what good is athleticism, right? Right now, the Warriors still continue to be slow, small, and one of the more least athletic teams in the league. There's no doubt about that. So when you watch a matchup against Toronto, you're like, wow, Toronto may have an advantage with Scottie Barnes and R.J. Barrett. And Emmanuel quickly didn't even play
Boucher.
In that basketball game. Chris Boucher scored 18 points in the fourth quarter. You look at the Wizards, who can't win a game to save their life. Hell, they allowed Klay Thompson to make 7 first-quarter threes yesterday. But Alex Saar, Jordan Poole, Kuzma, they've got some athletes. Koulibaly, they've got some bodies. They've got some athletes. So, yes, it is imperative for the Warriors over the next, especially if you want to, when you think about Stephen Curry and how he's going to age, what would behoove the Warriors to get the most out of Stephen Curry? Well, building around him and getting more athletes. Amen Thompson, yeah, he's a star. He had a stat line.
Look, it's
unfair. He had a stat line.
Yeah.
He had a stat line the other day. It was like 16-16, 5, 4 blocks, 4 steals. I mean, he's filling up the stat sheet. Yeah, we would all love an athlete like that.
It's
but I think that's
call.
Why there's a fascination with Zion Williamson. Because you see some of his athleticism, and if you bring in Zion, you're instantly more athletic. There's no doubt.
Well, you don't have to be the most athletic team in the league. Then you got to have some shooting, right? You've got to have one or the other. And they just don't have either.
No,
you know, like I like Andrew Wiggins. Andrew Wiggins is a good player. I don't think most people would disagree with that. He doesn't suck. He's also not one of he's not an all-star, right? He's somewhere in the middle. He's a good player. Upper echelon good player, if you will. Bonte, he's one of their most athletic players considering that Kuminga's injured right now. And on the scale of what the athletes are in the league right now, he pales in comparison to a lot of the under 25 guys.
No doubt.
And I don't think that's a knock on Wiggins. That's the reality of the league as I look at across the landscape.
So, I mean, just period dot. The Warriors need to get athletic. They need size. They need 3-and-D guys. There's no doubt about that. What's the quickest avenue to get there? I have no idea whether it's a trade, whether it's the offseason. I don't know. But if you want to maximize Stephen Curry, I think having athletes and guys with size – who could defend, like, Wiggins is a good start. Like, for Wiggins' contract, I'm not, you know, some people will just flip him by. I'm not in that camp. I like Andrew Wiggins a lot. I think he could start building around a guy like him or put more athletes. That's why Jonathan Kuminga, it sucks that his ankle's going to get reevaluated in 2 weeks. He's already missed three. This could be a six-week injury, the ankle sprain for Jonathan Kuminga, but he's one of your better athletes. I need to keep a guy like that because when you're looking at some of these lineups, as you're watching League Pass, look at the New York Knicks lineup. Look at the Sacramento Kings starting five with Malik Monk and Sabonis and Fox and DeRozan and Keegan. And they're getting up and down, and next thing you know, boop, boop, they sub in Keon Ellis, and they get even more athletic. Yes, that's where the league has always been. That's where it's gone. And the Warriors over the last 2 years have gotten less and less more athletic. Now, they're all athletes, right? You're playing basketball left to right, but compared to other teams and the upper echelon teams, we'll see Oklahoma City tomorrow night. Jalen Williams, SGA, Isaiah Joe, their version of a Wiggins, they're athletic as hell. Lou Dort, Caruso. So, yeah, the Warriors are behind the eight ball, and that's, if you want to get back to the top of the Western Conference, kind of got to begin there, getting more athletic and getting some size in there.
But I also think, you know, your point on Wiggins is a good one, and I understand, like, he helps them. But I guess where I fall down is he's one of the few guys that I think works in a lot of different situations. And so he does have some value. So you have to give to get.
You do.
Like, you know, sometimes we say, like,
he's got such a team-friendly contract.
But, Bonte, but that team-friendly contract to me only is value to you if you're competing for championships.
No doubt.
Right?
No
when you're not competing, when you're, like, in no man's land, right? I view it as this, like, hey, I have a dollar, and I have water, all right? I'm the Warriors in this scenario. I like my dollar. It's all I have. It's all I have. But if I could go buy three lemons with that dollar, and then I could use that water and then mix it up, and maybe I can make lemonade, that's better than having the dollar burning a hole in my pocket, and then hopefully I can sell the lemonade down the line and make some money. I'm looking at Wiggins like an asset. I've got to spend a little to go get some lemons, yeah, these draft picks, and I'm hoping to turn the draft picks with some water, which meaning time, into something that's a little more useful than just the dollar burning a hole in my pocket. Yeah. I'm trying to make $2, $3, $4.
Yeah, but there's no guarantee that those lemons are not rotten or sour, and they don't get to you don't get to save squeeze.
Bonte,
out of them.
What I'm watching right now is I'm watching it just a team going nowhere.
I look at if I'm moving some. I'm looking at the expiry contracts first and foremost. That's where I'm looking at first and foremost to try to get some draft capital, to try to get a player or two. Trading Andrew Wiggins, you may not get a player like that for the next couple of years. And that's the risk here.
But
so
standing pat might get you the 16th pick, and I don't think that does it.
Nobody is saying standing pat. Nobody. I'm not there. I didn't say that. Standing pat. I don't think anybody's saying that.
Wiggins.
Well, I think building around him and Steph and bringing Wiggins back with that team-friendly deal, you can revisit something like that in the offseason. Right now, you trade Andrew Wiggins. Boy, this is your second-best player right now. Now where do you go?
Do you really think they're going somewhere with him?
You might. You might. You just might. But the bottom could fall out if you trade a guy like that. Just and then all of a sudden, you're basically telling everybody, we're waving a white flag.
But waving the white flag. There was a year to do it.
But
I watched Cooper Flagg last night. Like this is
no. He's good. But are you guaranteed to get into the top five?
No.
You're not even. You're like it's a long shot to get.
But you're also not guaranteed any contention with the current roster.
No doubt.
We're in a very like damned if you do, damned if you don't situation. So I don't think there's a right or wrong.
Let's go. We're going to go to break. All right, we got a break here. We got a break. Details on Knockout coming up on the other side. Baldy at 7:30. That's all brought to you by Fremont Bank. Here for you, here for good.
What up, what up? This is Big Pump from South City. You are now listening to The Morning Motherfucking Rose with my boys Bonte and Shasky on 95.7 The Game.
All right, Big Pun, what is up? What is up, Big Pun? 95.7 The Game Knockout Tournament. It's back. We gave out three slots yesterday. I know our slot went to Zucci Mane. He's going to be at Chase Center getting up some shots at the Knockout Tournament. We will give out a keyword sometime between 8 and 8.30. And at some point between 8.30 and 9 o'clock, you're going to hear this sounder. Be the first to call in and give us the keyword, and you will win a spot in the tournament and a chance to shoot hoops on the court at Chase Center. Tournament will be on March 3rd, which is a Monday. Monday, March 3rd. So listen, in the 8 o'clock hour, 12 p.m. hour, and 4 p.m. hours, each show will give away a slot each day for the next 3 weeks. And you have to be 18 and be a California resident. 888-957-9570. We're talking some Warriors here. What do you do here at the deadline? February 6th is approaching rapidly, and the Warriors are trying to gain some traction here at 22-23. And they got four games left on this nine-game during this nine-game stretch in which they play 8-9 at Chase Center. And so far, pretty average. And, you know, they're a game under 500. They got to get rolling here. But how do they get rolling with so many injuries? Do they make a move? Do they trade? What do you do? What are you looking to improve on this roster, Dub Nation?
Like almost everything. I mean, I'm looking over at Big Carter. Big Carter, he's our producer here. He's like the bouncer. Big Carter, how tall are you? 6'7"?
6'8".
6'8". Damn. 6'8".
Mr. Collin.
I mean, he plays center for the Warriors right
size
now.
Size matters.
They have so many small guys. I mean, it's like GP2 at the 4.
Yeah.
Buddy Hield at the 3.
Yeah.
You know, Pods at the 2. Like, I mean.
You know what I'd like to see more of? And they did it to start the season.
What's that?
And they moved away from it because of the slow starts. But I'd like to go back to Curry at point, Wiggins at the 2. Say Kuminga can't play as 3, so put Moody at the 3 and put Kuminga at the 4.
Yeah, but
and figure out the 5.
Out, yeah, I'm talking
you know what I'm saying?
Tonight.
I'm saying, I know tonight.
Yeah,
I know.
The Kuminga absence is a huge monkey wrench.
It's derailed everything. It's derailed a lot, and that's not his fault.
No.
It's his ankle. He landed on somebody's foot. I didn't think it was going to be this long. Well, he's going to be reevaluated in 2 weeks. That was the alert yesterday from the Golden State Warriors organization that he'll be reevaluated in 2 weeks. So we may not see him until February 21st when the Warriors open up the second half of the season in Sacramento to take on the Kings. Yeah. It may be that point. That's past the deadline. So at that point, you're just thinking, is Kuminga going to stay or going to match his money? He's a restricted free agent. Now you got that elephant in the room, a little bit reared its ugly head. So I'm just looking at lineup combinations. They got to get bigger. They got to get more athletic. That is, I think we're on the same page there.
Yeah.
And how you do that? I don't know how you do that. You may have to wait to the offseason. You may have to wait. You may have to do something drastic at the deadline. I have no idea what Don Levy's going to do. No idea.
I always look at it this way. Like, you know, I understand everybody wants to go all in every season, right? But you also have to have self-awareness of where you're at and kind of just, you know, survey the landscape. And I think that this is a very big draft that's coming up. And most people don't know a lot of the names. And I only pretend to know a couple names, right? I'm faking it just like everybody else. But like, man, this is just, they're not where they need to be, you know? And they're... Any combination of some trade, it feels like a Hail Mary at best, right? And so I would try to be a little more pragmatic about this. And your point on the expiring contracts is something I've been kind of hammering out. But you got two multi-year contracts that I think are going to be very difficult to move. And that's, you know, Kyle Anderson and Buddy Hield. So I don't know who or how you staple those deals to. And that's why I keep coming back to someone like Andrew Wiggins or Draymond Green, because those guys are desirable for a contender. And so... When you want to get something or unload something, sometimes you have to staple something that is valuable to you, and you have to do a cost analysis. Like, hey, I might really like this player, and I'd love to keep that player, but to be able to get something in return, you got to give to get. And man, this is a tough one. I lean more toward the, I would kind of hollow things out, But I'm not mad at fans that are out here saying, we're really close. The West has one good team. Everything's wide open. Why can't we be the team that makes a big deal? I understand that sentiment. I don't think Jimmy Butler is the answer. I don't think that there's a guy available right now that's going to swing the pendulum for this Warrior team.
You got to ask yourself then. You got to ask yourself if you trade Andrew Wiggins. All right, because I'm not subscribing to that. I'm just gonna play this hypothetical out. You do that. Now you got. Here's a conundrum: the Steph Curry timeline. The Steph Curry timeline. If you move said player Andrew Wiggins in this equation, then you're getting back draft capital. Well, how does that help Steph Curry within the next 2 to 3 years, or is it about helping Steph Curry? Because now you run the risk of losing a Steph Curry. If you say, you know what, we're going to hollow it out, we're going to go get youngsters. You're going to get younger? You're going to go back to the draft? You're going to look to try to get more players in the draft? Well, how does that help you winning in the next 2 to 3 years? And that could be the problem, because youngsters, it usually takes them a couple years to win in the NBA. It's just a fact. You look at all these teams around the league, look how long it took Cleveland kind of turn that corner. They didn't make a move for Donovan Mitchell. Orlando, it's been taking a while to turn that corner. Well, they finally did it, but you take your bumps and bruises for the first couple seasons, and then by that point, Steph may be 38, 39. Then what? Is it about Steph? Is it not about Steph? Is it just about getting ready for the future? Are you thinking about moving Steph? I mean, that because
the reality is to me that you're not competing for a championship with Steph as your sole number one.
But I have a quicker avenue to winning and playing for something with Andrew Wiggins as opposed to trading Andrew Wiggins.
You've gotten worse 3 years in a row.
You've gotten worse, but that's not Wiggins' fault.
No, I didn't say it was. Right. I'm saying like that's the reality worse. Yeah, of no, your
that's
roster.
The reality. That's the reality. But you're not going to get better by trading Andrew Wiggins. You have a quicker avenue of getting better with Andrew Wiggins, in my opinion, than without Andrew Wiggins.
I mean, right now, what are we, the 12th seed?
Well, right now you're 11? The 11th seed. You're the 11th seed, but we're talking about trading your best individual defender.
Okay.
Who is, you know, some of these guys are coming in here, Wiggins is turning off the water, and then you're talking about a guy who's dropping in 17 while defending the top opposing wing player on the other team. Like, you're trading that, which is a valuable asset. You trade that away. Number one, who's guarding that player? Number two, who's picking up 17 points per game on this roster? So I like Wiggins where he's at, and I like his contract. That's a contract to try to keep. Because say if Andrew Wiggins opted out this season, I think that guy could get $30 million a year. I really do.
If your avenue is trying to get better, there's only a handful of players that do bring something back like that other teams want, whether it's a deal for a player or picks down the line. Like, Andrew has to be a part of these discussions to me. I don't know how they get better, infinitely better, without including him either in some sort of trade package to get picks or to get a player. It sucks. I agree with you. Like, he is a useful player, but I also think that you have to, you know, kind of weigh all the options. And with him, you're the 11th seed. With him right last now. Year, you lost in the box. lost in the playoffs to the Lakers.
But it's also context of this 11th seed. You know, when you have guys out and you have 26 different starting lineups, which isn't on him. That is a problem. I get it. You're 11th with him. But I can see other avenues on why you're the 11th seed, and it's not because of Andrew Wiggins. My point is this. You move Andrew Wiggins, I think you signal to the fan base, 888-957-9570, that you are starting over. And how does that translate to ticket sales? How does that translate to revenue? And how does that translate to Stephen Curry by trading a guy like Andrew Wiggins?
You really think his name resonates like that?
With what?
Like with fans in the terms of like...
I think if you trade that guy, Andrew Wiggins, what we're seeing right now, I think it translates like, yeah, we're going to a full youth movement.
See,
I think it signals that, you know, we're a lot farther away. And when I look at his contract, which is a team-friendly deal, when you consider all the money that's being flying out there, I want to keep... When you talk about Ahmed Thompson, right, having a player like that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Wiggins... He's not Ahmed Thompson, but damn, he's closer to that than what this draft pick is going to be. You know what I'm saying? I need guys who could be a two-way player.
Yeah, the Rockets would not trade Thompson for Wiggins.
No, right? I didn't say that. I didn't say that at all, Shasky. I'm not even close. What I'm saying is that type of player that you're talking about is what Andrew Wiggins kind of is, a two-way player who can guard at a high level, who can be a three-level scorer, who's shooting 40% from the three-point line. When I look at my problems on the team, I'm saying to myself, well, Wiggins right now isn't my problem.
No. No one's saying he's a problem. What we're saying is you have such few assets. He's right. One of the few guys that can actually right. get you something back in return.
But you just said his name's not resonating, so I'm curious to know what you could exactly get back for Andrew Wiggins.
I don't think I've seen one Andrew Wiggins jersey.
I'm saying, what could you trade for Andrew Wiggins?
I don't know. I don't think they have a lot of options. Their roster's so crummy right now. I don't think there's a lot of guys on their team that nets you anything. Whether it's expiring deals, whether it's not expiring deals, that's how low I think of their roster currently.
So if you think that lowly of Andrew Wiggins on the roster, I don't think you're going to get much back by that premise. So now you're just trading just to trade.
No, I'm not trading. I'm trading so that I don't have the 15th pick. I'm trading so that I'm either in for the run that we're in right now, or I am in for the lottery, and I'm trying to win the draft.
So to get into the lottery, right?
I want to get into that top five.
You want to get into the top five. All right, so you want to get into the top five. So if you want to get into the top five, we're talking about trading with teams like New Orleans, Utah, Portland, Washington, Charlotte, Brooklyn, Toronto. Are those teams realistically giving you their lottery pick for Andrew Wiggins?
It doesn't have to be those teams, because you can also acquire a first-round pick and then use those to try to move up. Now, again, I'm throwing out scenarios.
Right. But then this draft is so stacked